We, the citizens of the city of Billings, for the purpose of establishing a just form of fundamental law, one that is responsible to the public for providing equal and adequate services and protections with efficient use of the community's revenue for all, one that provides for self-governing powers with respect to health, safety, and welfare of every citizen, and one that utilizes the utmost flexibility to plan for the future, do establish this charter for the City of Billings of the State of Montana. The Friday Packet with Stocky and Stout.
Have with us today, James and Emily. I'll get more specific than that. Evan.
Can we use their last names?
Would you like to?
Yeah. Okay.
Emily Mike, which is spelled wrong.
It is.
And James Chandler, which is spelled correct. Emily is 31 years old. She graduated from
MSU
Bozeman High.
Oh,
and
cool. High school.
MSU Bozeman, and she got her PhD, no, just her Master's of Fine Arts from the University of Wisconsin in Menominee Falls. James is just turned 19. James grew up in Seattle. Emily's from Billings. She went to West High?
Yes.
Yes, and has a degree in?
Anthropology.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Not the store.
No.
The business.
There's a Y instead of an IE.
Yeah. It's a store called Anthropology?
Yes.
Holy shit.
It's adorable.
All right.
Yeah.
Where is the store? Expensive places.
Okay. Yeah.
Just
fair enough.
Think of a, it's probably, it's usually next to like a
J. Crew
or Panera.
Panera.
Some place that serves Red Bull soups. Though.
Yeah. It's all right. In the same thing.
All right.
And she has been working for the last several years, cruising around, researching ancient peoples and their movements and clearing ways for highways.
Yeah.
All right.
And James grew up in Seattle and he graduated from College Preparatory Academy in Seattle, Washington.
You gonna make me say it?
Yes.
University Preparatory Academy.
There it is. That's the one. And he was quite the athlete. He lettered in Ultimate Frisbee.
I did.
In high school.
Varsity.
Varsity Ultimate Frisbee.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
That's
you
great.
Should play Frisbee with him, actually. It's quite impressive.
It's probably a lot better than what we do.
Yeah.
I wasn't very good at it because I'm short. I've got short legs, so I wasn't very fast. But okay. I can throw a Frisbee.
Were you like an enforcer? Are there enforcers on Ultimate Frisbee?
Can
you check in Ultimate Frisbee?
You cannot.
No.
There are handlers, which is basically just the people throwing the Frisbee, and then cutters, which receive.
Okay.
And I was not a good enough thrower to be a handler, but I wasn't fast enough to be a cutter, so I was basically just a really bad cutter.
You're selling yourself great.
But the team was small enough that it was a varsity sport, so I got a letter.
Hey.
And yeah, and with that, he got a full ride scholarship to MSU Bozeman.
Mm-hmm.
He has a degree in, what, literature?
Yes.
Nice. See? I know what I'm talking about.
Awesome.
And they've both lived in Billings for about 4 years after graduating college, and they just returned this week ish last weekend
a week ago today
yeah from their 700 mile dash of the Great Divide Trail from Banff to roughly Bannock, Montana.
My god,
we were shooting for Antelope Wells, New Mexico, but you know, came up a little short.
That's fine.
That is perfectly fine.
Yeah,
I don't know, I don't think it can be described as short. It was a long time.
No. It wasn't short. It was shorter than we would have wanted, but that's okay.
Story,
but it was your first try, right? You said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll try again. Right. Many people do that try this route anyway.
It was first ever like bike tour at all.
Yeah. And we chose a notorious one because, you know, set the bar high. That's kind of my game.
Hey, go big or go home. You know, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Go big and then go home.
Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes happens.
It's fine. Perfectly fine.
But it, you know, it's been what's described as the hardest mountain bike race in the world, right?
The hardest mountain bike race, yeah. Mm-hmm. I am guessing that people, it was plenty hard for us, but I'm guessing there are bike tourers who would say there are harder. But,
yeah, but you rode the course of the hardest mountain bike race in the world.
Yeah.
So I think we can count it.
How much, by the way, does sound travel through these cords? Because I'm a hand talker and there's a lot of electrical stuff around me. Finding it hard to be like...
Break loose. Yeah, gesticulate wildly.
Right, but I don't want to...
That's fine.
Yeah, sound quality on this podcast is, you know, this isn't a sound studio. We're not. He's not Rachel McEvers.
You are breaking the fourth wall. I am Rachel McEvers too, by the way.
Oh, fair enough.
A little bit of Nina Totenberg in there too.
Ooh, ooh yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm. Maybe some
Marcia Coyle.
Yeah. Rachel Martin. Just about any woman who works for NPR, that's me.
Checks out.
So yeah. Why did you guys decide to do this?
And by this, we were describing the trek on the Continental Divide where you stopped in Bannock, but started in Canada.
Actually, an interesting question. I'm not sure we have a good answer for that. Do you, Emily?
I was really tired of my job.
Okay.
So it was a good way to run away from something that I was tired of doing.
All right.
Which is a kind of a shitty answer, but, you know, whatever.
Well, maybe you weren't tired of it. Maybe you just wanted something that you could occupy your mind with other than work.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was hoping for, I guess this is, naive isn't the right word, but I was going in wanting a little bit of an epiphany of like, think on something, mm-hmm. and then you're going to have this grand answer towards the end. Yeah, that didn't happen, mm-hmm. but that's okay. And now looking back, it's like you kind of knew going in that wasn't going to be the case, mm-hmm. but still gave you lots of time to think. And answers did kind of come towards mm-hmm. in the end, yeah.
You got closer to an answer?
Yes.
Some smaller questions answered?
Yeah.
Possibly?
Lots of time to think.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of time. Mm-hmm. A lot of time to be in your own head.
I think you found some sort of answer. You have stayed quit from your job.
Yeah.
Which, like, you know.
Which you can't say.
No, I can't. That wasn't the goal either.
That's true.
There's only so many times you can take, to answer this for myself, I suppose. There are only so many times that, like, a little weekend getaway can
suffice.
Right. And that's what I was doing. I was working pretty hard. By that, I mean just showing up to work on time and consistently, mm-hmm. For long enough that it got to the point where I just thought something a little bit longer term was welcome, and it sounded like a cool project, and I enjoy biking. Joe and I bike together, trail bike, and Emily and I had never done anything like this before. I liked the idea. We built our own bikes as well, so I liked the research aspect and that mechanical aspect of building a bike and building it to our specifications or what we thought our specifications were mm-hmm. going into it, and then getting on that bike and riding it as far as we could was a really appealing idea.
I like it.
Yeah.
So any idea what those bikes weighed?
All up, I do have a scale, but I didn't put batteries in it before we left. We could repack them. I would guess probably in the ballpark of 75 pounds with all the water.
Probably over with all the water. We were among the heaviest.
We were definitely among the heaviest. The lightest, well, most people's kits, they looked really light because a lot of people had very small gear, but very small doesn't necessarily transfer to very light. Some of them were. The really, really fast racers way ultra out in light. Front, of course, are carrying like a yoga mat to sleep on and a thermal blanket, and that's it.
And just like a vial of, I don't know, speed, probably.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, actually.
Right. Really?
Just amphetamine out of an old MRE. Right.
So you're carrying your water, so you're not taking like a filter or something. We had probably taking both, right?
Yeah, we had a filter.
But you packed a lot of water initially when you headed out?
Yes. We knew we'd be moving slowly. And so I packed a lot more than we probably should have or could get away with. Mm-hmm. So we ended up paring down as the trip went on, but we each had the ability to carry 7 liters of water, which is way overkill until you're far, far south on the route into the desert.
Right.
And even then it's probably too much. So with all that water, if everything was full, we were probably over 80 pounds, but We almost never carried that much. Like, right out of the gate, we had all our water full and immediately realized that there's no need.
It was a mistake. But, again, you live and you learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we ended up carrying probably 3 liters at a time, yeah, at most, I would say. Usually you're drinking it basically as fast as you can.
Yeah. And we found once we actually packed our bikes full, it gave us a little more desire to eat things and drink things more quickly. So if we had a bunch of water, it was like, well, more reason to stop and drink things because, you know, mm-hmm, get rid of that weight.
Did you find it difficult to get enough calories?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. You had to eat constantly, which was surprising. It's not a 3 meals thing, which was an adjustment. A, there's no time.
No.
To do like 3 meals, and B, it just is unsustainable. You have to be constantly intaking calories. Pretty much literally, it was like every, I don't know, 20 minutes you could feel your body just slowing down because you're running on such a calorie deficit and burning it so quickly that there is definitely a line, at least for me, where I could feel like, well, that Clif bar is gone. So you put another one in.
So the most disgusting thing, it was weird shopping and looking for calorie, like looking for the most disgusting high calorie, high protein, mm-hmm, thing that we could find. And we found in some just backwoods, no, it was Ferndale. There was a tiny little grocery store about a half mile off route in Ferndale, Montana. Mm. And we found those disgusting fruit pies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was lemon.
Wait, you must be talking about a different kind. I only know of the delicious ones.
490 calories?
Yeah.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, for one.
Hey.
I mean, and it's I remember and carbs, eating it. But I remember eating it and feeling like, oh, yeah, I can feel this. And then, like, less than a half an hour later, it was just gone.
Yeah.
It was the strangest. That's probably the most true feeling of, like, put something in your face and feel it translate into energy, but mm-hmm, then just realize that it was all sugar and it's not going to sustain, yep, you.
That's awesome.
People, but still, dilate immediately.
490 calories.
That's pretty good, though.
Mm-hmm. And it jiggled.
I love them. Just gelatinous goo in there.
Yep.
Oh, they're it so is
really,
good.
And it's they leave really that, good, but
like fatty film on the inside of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had the chocolate one?
No.
We didn't have a choice. I think it was two fruit, and it was lemon and something else, and the lemon sounded vaguely more appetizing.
Oh, man. I recommend the blackberry one. It's pretty good.
Yeah, there wasn't, I think Emily's right, it was like a berry and a lemon. Mm-hmm. This was the kind of place that, like, the fruit pies were next to the, like, gardening gloves.
Mm-hmm. It was the strangest little store. So a lot of these places now know that cyclists come through, so they stock things, like, there's cans of soup next to Clif bars, next to bear spray, next to, like, it's just a mishmash, mm-hmm, of things that locals want, tourists want, and cyclists. Like, it is so specific now that they know.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's kind of cool to see the communities along the route thrive and be excited by this thing that happens every single year. But at the same time, there are these tiny little communities, like one gas station that is supported by 200 cyclists that come through in mass once per year.
That's great.
Yeah.
So how many people start this? The race?
This year, the Grand Depart, I think 190-something were truly registered. And probably over 200 were attending because we didn't have spot trackers. Spot trackers, GPS system that allowed anyone to track that person.
Mm-hmm.
It's really expensive. It's a subscription service, and we at the time we didn't actually know about it, and we didn't realize that it's kind of not required, but highly suggested, especially for the ability for those people that own businesses along the route to watch you and then plan ahead. We got kind of chewed out in a kind way in Ovando for not having a spot tracker.
Right. Because spot tracker is a brand, so presumably any GPS unit would serve the same purpose, but if everyone has a spot tracker brand GPS unit,
it's all in one service.
It's all in one place. So it's on trackleaders.com is what it is, the map. So Bob and Mary, who own the corner store in Ovando, It's actually Trixie, and I'm not sure what his name is, but Trixie.
Let's go with Dixie. Trixie
and Dixie, yeah. Who own the like general store in Ovando, will look at track leaders and go, oh, okay, James and Emily are an hour outside of Ovando and they're still moving. This is normally the time we would close and go home, but we'll stay open because we know that they're close enough.
So they're pissed off that you're messing up their whole Thursday night routine.
Yeah.
Like, must-see TV's coming on NBC. James and Emily are still out there, I guess. We're going to stay open.
Yep, pretty much.
Jesus.
But so track leaders had 190-some people registered, but about probably 210 people were there.
I would say another, 15 to 20 people probably were like us.
Yeah.
Just
kind of tack themselves onto the end.
Just and touring,
Yeah.
That's all right.
There's
nothing wrong with that.
So I want to go back to your bikes. I know you talk with your hands, so I'm going to need you to draw me some pictures with your hands. I want you to describe your bikes, because they're very unique. And tell me, you know, and what brand and all that stuff. Make big shout-outs. We'll tag everybody in this shit.
Yeah. So we had...
So we're talking like mountain bikes, sorry. Like a... mountain bike style bike. We're not talking road bike style. We're
not a road bike.
Just a beefy road bike frame. Or not beefy mountain bike frame.
There beefy mountain bike frame. They are steel rigid. They're called Crust Scapegoats.
Crust Scapegoats.
Yes.
Yeah, Crust is the brand.
Crust is the brand. Maroon, if you want a color. Just to paint a lovely...
Well, I'm colorblind, so thanks.
Rigid meaning...
no suspension.
Yeah. No suspension. So we did that for...
So what's the deal with no suspension? Why no suspension?
Fewer moving parts.
Fewer moving parts. Fewer things to break down.
Yeah. Kind of deal? Potentially break down.
All right. Which, again, not super necessary for this route. These bikes, I think, looking back, are probably over or under built, depending on how you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. When we started building the bikes, we didn't know the route we wanted to take. We knew we wanted to tour, but we didn't know where. And we were originally thinking some more remote rides, so like South America or you know, someplace like that. We'd seen a lot of really cool pictures, again, from Crust. Their R&D department is just one guy who calls himself Goat, and the company's called Crust. And, like, to give you an idea of the company.
Okay.
So they're steel frames, so you can weld them or repair them with a MIG welder. Rather, you don't have to know TIG or anything like that. And there's a MIG welder in every town everywhere.
Okay.
You can bang them straight with a rock. The skewers, the axle for the wheel, are 135 mil quick release. So it's like an old style skewer axle rather than a through axle. That's, what are they, 20 mil?
Yeah.
20 or 10 now or 15. So it's kind of outdated technology for the bike world. But that also... means that it's technology that's compatible with a lot of like older Schwinns that are still rolling around or like any Walmart bike that's still out in the world.
A lot of interchangeable parts.
Yeah. If you find a bike,
right,
the parts will work.
Yeah.
Right.
Makes sense.
Which is a really cool design philosophy from Crust, and we really liked that. So those are the bikes we bought. And that's what I mean by underbuilt or overbuilt. The steel frame is a lot heavier than what a lot of people were riding around us, and a 26 inch wheel is also an outdated wheel size, kind of. You know, a lot of people were riding 29 inch wheels, so you get better rollover, things like that. So we had sort of a strange build for this ride, but we really liked it. So
the bigger the wheel, the easier
the rolling resistance.
Yeah.
But they also had nice big old squishy tires on them too.
3 inch nominal tires, which kind of replaced suspension. They added a nice bounce.
Low PSI probably in them. So they got,
Were a lot, there were several portions of some of the trails that we had to ride that we found easier than some of the other people because we had those big tires.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're nice looking builds and they have groovy, like, I don't know. How do you describe the bars?
H bars. They're these like big looping, how do you describe
they're
it?
They're almost like an old cruiser bar.
Yeah.
Cruiser bars.
Except without any lift. They're nice and flat, but they still swing back like that.
So they kind of give you multiple riding positions. in hindsight,
hunched over.
Yeah, in hindsight, James especially wanted another arm position, so that would be something that maybe for future reference or future would change, because both of us lost feelings in our ring fingers and pinky fingers.
The ape hangers?
Yes.
So when you're going out?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can put a lot of stuff on those, too. Mm-hmm.
So much bag
so
space.
Many bananas?
Yep. Yeah.
It's Mario Karted up on other people. Throw them out.
That's a good point. Did you guys ever try to knock anybody else off their bike?
Yeah, how many people did you punch?
No, but what did Jeremy... There was a person we rode with named Jeremy that came up with a fun term. Whoop-da. Almost everyone rode clipless, where your feet are attached to the pedals.
We were some of the only ones that did not.
But a lot of these people were very in shape, but not necessarily cyclists or experienced cyclists anyway. Okay. So there was a lot of like, can't get my foot out of the pedal, tip over at a stop. And what did Jeremy?
It was a whoop to fall, whoop like to something.
Swoopty whoop or something. Like, I don't know. He came up something with a term for just tipping over without getting your foot out of the pedal.
So we didn't have that. There was a lot of talk of embarrassment, you know, riding slow in front of someone that you think is either, you know, more skilled or has. Yeah, it was really.
I could care less give a shit. I fell over this week in my bike at the stop sign because I couldn't get out of my clipless pedal. That's just something that constantly happens to me. And I just get down there and I make a horrible sound. Usually it's like. Then scream, what are you looking at to the people?
It helps.
Yeah.
And they scream back, an idiot. Laying on the ground under a bike.
You. Yeah.
So you guys rode with a bunch of people too, right? You like, you kind of all left at the same time and
So
paces kind of sort you out into groups.
Yeah. It's really weird. The Grand Depart, everyone leaves at the same time. And we actually didn't, there's normally a large group photo taken at the YWCA in Banff. Mm. And we missed it. We were kind of running late, and I'm going to be honest, I can't speak for James, but it felt a little bit like first day of high school all over again. Didn't know if we were going to fit in. Like just
sweating.
Didn't. Yeah. Mm. It was really weird. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So we, instead of trying to fit in at the YWCA, you know, put bikes back together, get bags, we went to the trailhead where it actually starts, where the route begins.
So to give context, the YWCA is a little bit into the town of Banff.
So you kind of get like a big...
Relative to the trailhead itself. So there you ride
big parade
on pavement through the town before you get to the point where the pavement stops and the gravel starts.
Yeah.
All right. Which I don't think we've mentioned, by the way. This is the Great Divide mountain bike route, the point of which over 90% is off pavement.
Yes.
So continue, Emily.
Please let me shut off my vibrating phone.
Yeah, so we decided to go to where the trail begins as opposed to where the parade starts because of anxiety surrounding, like, we don't know what we're doing. It's just kind of weird.
It's like a competition.
Yeah, and looking back...
Are you all ready for this?
Looking back, it was completely... Anxiety is anxiety. Like, it was unnecessary. Once everyone was going, it was kind of just this train of people, which is one of the weirder things I've ever experienced, but no one was talking. No one talked. So it was very strange.
No one had like a stereo that was blaring Andrew WK like Party Hard.
There were a few people who did have music. One guy had a pizza box strapped to his back.
Okay. With a pizza in it.
With a pizza in it. Yeah.
He was a French guy. Somebody talked to him.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, this ride brings so many people from so many crazy places around the world. They're New Zealanders, Australian. It's a lot of Southern, like Australia, New Zealand,
So it's just done over like the internet? Is it just, do you register online? Do you...
You can, again, because you
like,
can tour it.
Everybody meet here, we're going to do this. And like 200 people from Belgium show up and pretty much, I mean...
But because you can tour it, you don't have to pay. You just have to pay to get yourself and your bike. You know, it depends on how you want to do it.
And the spot tracker is expensive. The spot tracker. But there's no purse for winning. It's a race, but it's a race for bragging rights.
Okay. Big time bragging rights.
Yeah, big time. We left the parking lot with the group. One of the first people we talked to, his name was HJ. We actually didn't know his name at the time. We ended up riding with him for almost 6 days. I can't remember when they actually had to turn around.
Something like that.
But we just kind of met people along the way that were generally going the same speed as us. Most of the time we didn't actually introduce ourselves, so we just kind of ended up riding with them for an entire day.
Sure.
And then sometimes camping, or in some cases sharing a motel room. Mm-hmm. And then eventually learning things about them, which is kind of cool. It was a different way of meeting people, I guess, because you're just on a bike.
Yeah, you're doing a very unique thing.
Yeah, well, and it's really fascinating how the experience unifies people. So we started riding with 7 people total, including ourselves, in that process, you know, just sort of people riding at about the same speed.
Mm-hmm.
And that group got smaller and smaller and smaller for various reasons. And when Emily and I stopped riding, it was 4 people. It was a person named Jeremy from Texas, who on day one was wearing a bike jersey that said, come and take them under a picture.
Come and take them.
Come and take them under a picture of a cannon. So, like, we didn't get into politics with him, but a Texas guy.
Okay. Cannon enthusiast.
And
Texas firefighter EMT.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Who did work at a gay bar, though.
He did work at a gay bar at one point. Oh, and a very unassuming Canadian man who we never really learned much about named Jeff. But it was a very strange group of people that I don't think would have gotten along
in any other circumstances. So
if it was just like a bar conversation, and that was really cool because everybody was there for the experience, not because of the experience. I don't know.
It wasn't like a furry convention where you're, you know, right, trying to do really weird things with each other.
Right. There was no, it was never like, I don't like you because of X. The conversation never got there. It was always, where are we going today?
Right.
Let's go 65 miles or 85 miles or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Hey, mm-hmm, do you need more water? Hey, do you need more food? You take care of each other. It was a really like humanizing, mm-hmm, thing that happened, which is,
didn't feel like a competition. Didn't feel like a race. It felt like a,
that's special. Yeah. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, and we, nice, we have a running, James is on Facebook really anymore, but there's a running Facebook, I guess, community surrounding the ride one. And then this group of people, HJ, Dell, Jeremy, Jeff, Sebastian,
you and me.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That, and we've been supporting the people who are still racing of that group, which is now Jeff, because we've slowly just like fallen off, unfortunately. Yes.
Canadian Jeff.
He's into Colorado now. Actually,
there's a possibility you might know everything about him, actually, because sometimes he's just Jeff from Canada.
It's possible.
We've now met his wife, who is lovely, Rochelle. She was a trail angel, essentially, the very first person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was there while we were in, on the first day, and was kind of doing, willing to run people if there was a guy that broke his bike on the first day. What happened?
His one of the bearings in his rear hub just like
exploded.
Yeah.
So really? She drove him to another city close by, just south of Banff, to get a new wheel, and then I think he drove himself somewhere else. But like she was doing, because she was a trail angel. Plane.
But yeah, she had a carload of bars and like water and stuff. Because day one, of course, is gonna be the hardest for a lot of people. Sure. Whether it's because you didn't train hard enough, you didn't know what you're getting yourself into, or you're pushing too hard because you're excited because it's day one or whatever. We saw tons of people on the side of the road, or like mechanical failure, anything. A lot of it's gonna happen day one. So she was there. And she'd drive like 10 miles up and wait for the big bulk of the pack to pass her.
And Jeff.
And then keep driving. And we didn't know who she was at that point. But she just spent the whole day leapfrogging the main pack and Jeff. all the way to sort of the unofficial like stop spot of, well, for a lot of people anyway, of day one. And then we met her and like made the connection and met Jeff through Rochelle, is her name, Jeff and Rochelle, and she had to get back on a plane,
but then she did home, but support through Facebook. Like, she was the craziest promoter I've ever met.
That's
and
cool.
Just so supportive.
Yeah, we talked to her for maybe a grand total of an hour and a half, like face to face talked to her for an hour and a half. And from then on, it was like, even when the group was separated, even when Emily and I were like away from, she was sort of the social media like coordinator for this group of seven people, which was wild. It was crazy to meet somebody. Yeah. And then like James and Emily are here and Jeff and Jeremy are there and everybody's still moving like rah, rah. It was wild to meet such like nice people.
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. So your gear, we've talked about a little bit, but when you came back, you said that there were some things that you would take next time and some things you wouldn't. What do you got?
I'm not mistakenly, but I purchased a solar panel.
Oh, a solar panel.
Never used it once.
Okay.
Did see people using them, so it's a common thing, but for us, it was entirely unnecessary.
So solar panel would be used for charging.
Yeah. Charging phones. Devices. My phone ended up being like the GPS unit, so keeping that charge was kind of primary. But we also had another GPS unit that allowed us to be tracked by James's parents, my parents, and then kind of and Joe.
So it was like a spot. So when I'm backcountry hiking, they've got, I think it's called the Dot, if I'm not mistaken. I've got an ACR, like big one that you can, you know, press a button and the cavalry come, but they've got a smaller one. Is it kind of like that?
I have a, like that. I have a Garmin GPS unit that's got the, like, come and get me button.
Yeah.
So that was our primary form of communication and, like, hey, I'm okay. And then, God forbid, the come and get me button.
Yep.
Emily's phone was the, like, map that we followed.
Mm-hmm. And we originally started out not using my phone as a GPS. We thought that the InReach and the maps that we purchased from Adventure Cycling would be fine. That was a lie. No, that was not the case.
You start to, well, not panic, but you get out there and you're like, oh my God, where am I?
That is exactly
my trees. Map.
That's kind of what happened. Yeah. So one of the reasons why we wanted to stick with the group for so long was because they were kind of serving as our GPS units. Mm-hmm. They had better equipment than we did and updated GPX files, which did not do going in, which hindsight. So once we realized that they were going faster, once we crossed the Montana border. Yeah, we made it to Rouseville and then made it to Eureka. And a lot of our group wanted to keep going and we could not. We burned ourselves out. So that was a little bit of a scary moment to realize, like, our safety net, our group, one, for just emotional support, friendship, anything like that was going away. And two, we were kind of relying on them without saying it. Mm-hmm. Their GPS units, way better than ours. Mm-hmm. And it was a weird moment to not know what we were going to do next. But kind of the theme of the ride, we met so many people who offered information that someone came along and essentially said, you should get this app. It's called Gaia. It has the GPS file that you need. Just follow that. And once
thanks for the tip, Ted. What were you 10 miles ago, jerk?
Exactly.
That wasn't Canadian Jeff, was it?
Oh, that wasn't.
No, yeah. No, no.
It was Paul, but he was Canadian.
What are you talking about, huh?
He was Canadian.
Where's the bacon, eh?
So once we downloaded that, we felt a weight off our shoulders. We were able to function on our own safely and figure out where the fuck we were going.
Guess quickly. So,
yeah.
We could have done it with the paper maps.
We could have.
The GPS unit gives, my GPS unit gives mileage. So we were going to cross-reference mileage with the paper maps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so the like problem, a backup. Though, so are both of you good with a compass and map?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, we had an analog compass as well with us. Right. But so we would have made it, but it's really slow to stop every 5 miles and pull the paper map out and go, okay, where the heck are we? Everybody else had a e-trax unit with a red line on it that they would just follow the red line, right?
So also, the maps we purchased were 2017, so a lot of the information
Earth
was incorrect.
Changes.
And the problem is new maps weren't printed until mid-June, so it's kind of like
they don't release the paper maps for the paper maps for the route until after
the gun goes off.
Makes sense, because most people aren't using paper maps, but and the route is basically the same, but wildfires and floods and like bridge washes outages that, yeah. and stuff like that.
So stuff changes.
The route
so
a
we
bit
tariffs. We once we had the
sorry, thought I threw that one in there.
Yeah,
it's good. So it's one little unit that everybody uses. No,
pretty much.
Okay. There was definitely a popular one, E-Trax. I don't know too much about it, but everybody had this little E-Trax unit. It just looks like a kind of like a cyclometer. It's about that size. Just got a screen with a really low res map on it, but it's got a red line.
It's got all you need on there,
and it's high res enough.
It gives you
it's high enough resolution in its actual accurate GPS accuracy. The map itself, the visual isn't very detailed, but it will tell you if you're like even 20 feet off the route. It'll show you that,
and it gives you high points and low points, so you can tell if you're on route where you're going to be cresting a ridge, if you're down in a valley, like that kind of stuff. Is helpful.
Yeah. So was there any time where you felt you're off track, where you came up over a hill and you're like, where the fuck are we?
There was one time.
We felt that way.
Yeah,
we weren't, but
we felt that way. It was called Coco Claims. It's a new addition last year to the route that goes around a bridge that just routinely washes out.
All right.
Again, not on our maps. So we didn't know. We followed our group. And because we had nice big tires, we were able to ride over more of this rocky trail than a lot of our group.
It's a notoriously rough part of the trail.
Yeah.
A lot of scree fields or just...
The worst at worst, it was like soccer ball sized boulders that...
Sharp boulders.
It is literally unrideable. Even if you're a killer rider, it would not be possible to ride a bike.
Even if you
have
like a pizza strapped to your back, you're not going over it?
Yeah, no. You can eat the pizza.
You might be able to trials ride.
Even if you say
over,
cowabunga before you go over the rocks?
You could.
It's worth a try.
Just shouting brat.
Yeah. So we got separated from the main part of the group. We were with someone else. There were three of us in front and four behind. And the other person that we were with, Dell, was going faster than we were. And she had a GPS unit. We, of course, did not at that point.
You slashed your tires.
If only.
Slow down.
Slow down. Come back. She got ahead of us. And we didn't know how much further we had to go. We knew we had to go straight. The trail was easy enough, but we just didn't know. We didn't have a sense of time, and weather was starting to come in. It was starting to get cold. We weren't really prepared for that. Exhaustion had set in.
Yeah.
Pushing far too
panicking.
Much weight. Yeah. And so we had a choice of continuing forward, which was the right choice, what we did, or going back or waiting. So it took us a couple minutes to figure out, like, okay, we got to keep going forward no matter what. This is a weird situation to be in, but.
Because the rest of our group was behind us. But we didn't want to go backwards because that meant going downhill, which meant pushing your bike back uphill again.
Fuck that.
And weather was setting in. So we knew there was a cabin at the summit of this little thing we were on. So
7 mile hike a bike. We just didn't know how far into the 7 miles we really were at that point. And if it was going to be even worse. Because there were like three false summits and then you had to go through a couple snow fields with some downed trees. However, there were pika, so, you know, that was an adorable...
Oh, the downed trees were actually really gnarly.
Yeah.
Just big. It was this really deep... The trail was at the bottom of this really deep cut, kind of...
Avalanche-y.
River valley, but avalanches had come down and buried the bottom of it, so you just had to climb up and over avalanches. But because it was June, they're slushy, so they're firm. They weren't post-holing, which was nice.
Yeah.
But they're slippery, and you're trying to push a 75-pound bicycle...
Through mashed potato
snow.
There's a lovely photo of the group behind us. Jeremy has thrown his bike and is laying on the snow. Sebastian is smiling and Jeff is smiling. It's like, and I mean the different
typical
variations
Jeff.
Of a smile, but Jeff and Sebastian are okay. And then Jeremy is just has given up all hope.
Awesome.
It's a beautiful photo. It's
I love it.
Framed very well.
What was the border crossing like?
You have to have your passport on.
You have to
have all your shit together. You have to bow before our Lord and Savior.
Swear an oath of fealty.
Yep.
So we were at the back of the pack. It was road riding all that day, so it was we can't keep up with the rest of them. Yeah.
Especially with the big tires.
Yeah. Mm. We were really slow. It was also
that
windy.
Was the worst part. Any time that trail hit pavement or the route hit pavement was the worst for us.
We slowed down. Mm. Gravel any day. So riding in, see all the stupid stop signs and, like, you know, do not move until you're allowed to move kind of thing at a border crossing. But we were just waved through by all of our friends. So again, we had a Texan, a guy from Georgia, a Canadian, two from Brooklyn, one of which is a French Chinese citizen, and the other from Brooklyn is a Korean citizen.
Okay.
American, Korean American, and then two of us. The border guard kind of asked some funny questions. Like, he drew attention to where everyone was from.
Mm-hmm. Not in necessarily a mean way, no, but definitely he got border guardy about it.
Yeah. And then he asked to see our passports and asked where I was from. And I said, Montana. And he said, welcome home.
Like, very sincerely.
Did he hug you?
This guy. Oh, my goodness. This guy was a character. In a very quiet sort of way. Just exactly the type of person you'd expect to be manning a border in Rooseville. He was the only one on shift.
Yeah. There were two other people who were doing the boat inspection.
Because he was the only actual muscles out of props,
guy in a booth. And he was just kind of overweight and quiet and being a little bit surly with all these, like, people from far-flung corners of the U.S. and the world.
Mm.
And gave Emily the most contrastingly sincere
welcome home. Like, okay, thanks. Yeah, I'll take it.
And you started playing the cello for something.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Welcome home. Did not expect that.
That's no.
Nice
no.
border experience.
Yeah.
It was easy, though. He didn't stop anybody. I mean, Rooseville has been the crossing, I think, basically the entire time the route has existed. So it's it's probably annoying, but definitely not unheard of for over the course of about a week. A grand total of more than 200 weird, smelly people on mountain bikes to ride through.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right,
you could probably get a lot of contraband through on a bike. They did not. They didn't even care.
They don't want to touch. We at the Friday Packet do not advocate you take contraband across the border. From
no,
Canada
no, no, no. I'm just saying. States.
Literally unpublishable now, Emily.
Fuck.
Please,
ever.
Please do. Send
don't
us
do
pictures
it.
If you do it.
www.
/CI Billings. I don't know.
That's the one. We'll go with that one.
So it was easy, but it was still a border crossing. It was weird.
Huh.
Yeah. It's. See, I always get a tiny little bit nervous.
Me too.
Going through any kind of customs things. Like, I wonder if I actually do have any, like, illegal aliens in my backpack, or
right.
Did somebody slip a pound of heroin in there?
Yeah. And food is so important. We had heard horror stories in past years of, like, do you have any, fruit or like, fresh foods, anything like that?
Yeah.
And, like, if you're carrying trail mix, you know, I was, right as I got to the border, I was like, oh, no. I've got, like, a pound of trail mix.
So
that's
many
the only
cranberries.
Thing I have to eat.
The night before, we had also purchased a fair amount of beer. So, at lunchtime that day, we were doing the crossing. We all drank like two
Molson Canadians, Labatt's.
No, they were like the Molson. I'm not sure how big they are. You know, the, like, I guess it'd be 32-ounce bottles.
Ooh, a quart.
Yeah.
We're talking quarts.
Yeah.
So
good for you.
James and somebody else had to pack them onto their bikes.
Glass bottles,
and then ride them
it's
to our
water.
Lunch spot.
I dumped out water to accommodate that.
Good for you.
It was a lovely lunch. It was beautiful.
It sounds great. Nice.
Mm.
Overlooking a private lake.
Lovely. Stock ponds. Probably got cutthroats in there.
Probably. Yeah.
There was a fence all the way around it, though, so we were like 150 yards from a nice private lake.
It's just a good hard cast.
Yeah.
It really is.
Fine.
I'm at high water. I mean, geez. Yeah. Last glaciation. Yeah. I'm at high water. Sorry. Yeah.
What's our time frame on this?
We're in Montana again.
Yeah, that was a nice lunch.
Yeah.
It was good.
So it rained basically the whole time.
Basically.
with a few notable exceptions.
Yeah, there were some lovely days of perfect temperatures, like perfect writing temperatures. Mm-hmm. But I will say, Canada's rain was better than Montana's rain, if that's...
How so? Was there maple syrup in it?
Of course.
Okay. It was more accepting of minorities.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Warmer.
It was intermittent, small yeah. drops, relatively small drops, and intermittent, so you'd get a little bit wet, and then it would stop raining long enough to dry out a little bit, because we were moving fast enough that you'd just, like, get...
Whereas in Montana, blown. It was a goddamn deluge. It was a wall of water that you couldn't escape, and then going down meant...
So did you stop at that point, if it got too bad, and just, like, hunker under a tree for a few minutes, or did you just plow through?
You just plow through.
There is nowhere dry.
Right.
There is nowhere dry.
Nowhere to hide?
Nope.
No. That was the one going into Helena.
Well, it was Lincoln.
Right. We had one, like, kind of risky, like, hypothermia scare going up over a pass. It got cold enough. It was, like, freezing rain at the top. And it raining hard enough that even hunkering down under, like, a weird scrubby little pine tree didn't really do much. And then you're not moving, yeah. of course. So
your body heat is dropping right. precipitously.
Yeah.
But if you're going down a pass, you're also not really moving. You're just getting...
Yeah.
Then it's just windier. So.
So did you have, like, a blanket or anything? Is that one of the... in hindsight, we're going to throw those into the old
little
bag
Mylar
there?
Blanket?
That's probably. Not... Probably. That's probably a good idea. But in that moment, I didn't want to set up a tent in the rain and then get everything soaking wet. I also, hindsight's 2020, should have put on more layers, but I didn't.
Neither of us were wearing all of our layers. We kept we had down coats with us, but we weren't wearing them because our rain layer had already soaked completely through. So it was put on your down and let it also get soaked or reserve dry layers for later. And we knew we were going downhill.
We knew the end point. Right. Like, it wasn't one of those days of, like, we're just kind of going until we stop. We knew we were going from Ovando to Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And we had planned to go further, but because of the rain, we're like, nope, we're going to Lincoln. Like, Lincoln's the end point. But getting from the top of that pass to Lincoln downhill, it was cold. It was very cold.
It was really cold.
So wool skivvies next time.
Had some. I had merino wool.
Yeah,
I wasn't wearing it that day.
You weren't. I was wearing head-to-toe wool base layer, but it was still just, it soaked through. Wow. I was warmer than she was, but it was still soaked through.
Because I was stubborn.
Well,
I can relate.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, I'll show this weather.
And it wasn't even, had we stopped, I think, you know, shivering, it was very early. Cold enough to be hypothermic, but not anywhere approaching actual hypothermia.
Mm-hmm.
So. Fingers and toes weren't starting to work, really. You know, not that really need to work toes.
Pins and needles.
Locking up, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We had dish gloves as our rain protecting things.
Mm-hmm.
And shifting was a task at one point. I pretty much used a full hand to try and shift.
Just punch, like, the shifter.
Yeah, because at that point...
You didn't have grip shifters? I
mean. No.
Although that would have been kind of nice.
In that moment. But even gripping
Don't ever
that,
say
like
that. Grip shifters are terrible.
I don't remember if the guy, I looked up roll off hub,
yeah,
fancy internal gearing, because one of the people we rode sort of near had one, and I'm not sure if he had a twist shift or not, grip shifter, but
who had one?
Richard, Kiwi Richard.
Mm. Oh.
But yeah. Anyway, I found that that's like a pretty common roll off.
Yeah.
Thing is, yeah, grip shifters instead of...
The trigger shifter doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
On the roll-off.
Makes sense. Yeah.
That's all right. Sorry. I wouldn't judge you if you bought a roll-off, which is a 14-speed internal hub.
Okay.
Just like an old 3-speed, except there's 14 of them.
You got it.
And they're really expensive.
They are
insanely expensive.
And and they are maintenance-free, and they would survive a nuclear blast.
Yeah, I just need to change the oil.
I shouldn't talk too badly about Richard, because he was faster than we were, but... also, sort of an unassuming middle-aged white guy from New Zealand riding a salsa, an aluminum salsa with a roll-off rear hub and one of those loaf front suspension. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the bike cost $4,000.
There were a lot of them.
God, the hub's $1,600.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sure the bike was 10,000.
Didn't he get the roll-off?
He got it a while. The roll-off on his that he toured the Divide with was at that point like 8 years old. And he changed the oil like once, you know?
Probably it was fine.
Yeah. I chatted with him a little bit.
That's cool. So you made it as far as Bannock plus a couple miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. We 4 miles south of Bannock. We were 4 miles into an 80-mile day and saddle sores.
Yeah.
Mm. Bit me in the ass.
So to speak.
Okay. What is a saddle sore?
Yes, Emily.
Describe it in detail.
Oh.
We'll post blister. Some pictures.
Blister on your sit bones, exactly where your butt connects to the bike seat.
Yo.
And mine were made worse by clothing choices. I had some elastic and some seams that hit right there just and perfectly. And should have done some preventative care.
Sawed your ass in half.
Yeah, it sawed my ass in half. Should have done preventative care to begin with, but tried to do quick fixes to tide me over, and it caught up with me.
Yeah.
There's only so much ibuprofen that can really make it feel better until you can't feel anything, and then it's even worse.
Yeah. And it still just feels better.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's not actually better.
Right. You're
not
getting worse.
Yes. Yeah. So.
And it's just dumb luck and butt size, saddle choice, and whatever pants you have.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
So we made it 4 miles south of Bannock, stopped, talked for probably an hour, talking through, like, do we keep going? Do we turn back?
And which didn't help.
Hours it didn't help. No.
Hours are very precious. 80 miles. We were 4 miles into an 84-mile day.
Yeah.
And hours, we move slow enough that an 84-mile day was going to take us
all day.
15 hours, probably.
Yeah. And we didn't really want to get into the next camp at dark because we'd done it once before and it was not fun.
Mm.
Also, mud.
Mm-hmm.
We'd been told that this road south of Bannock was really, really notorious for mud, which ended up being true for our friends. So we missed that. But instead of riding the 80 miles south, we turned around and went 30 miles to Dillon instead.
That's all right.
Yeah.
What was your total mileage count?
713.6 or something like that.
Sure.
Depending on how you count it. Mileages are goofy.
Yeah.
Every device counts it a little bit differently.
And I went from the maps.
580 feet constitutes a mile.
Doesn't seem that goofy, James. It's pretty set size.
Google Maps gives us the longest mileage, I think.
And I didn't do Google Maps. I used the paper maps.
Oh, the paper maps as well, yeah.
And I guesstimated Coco claims.
Right.
Because we didn't have that information, and I did not download the GPX file for Canada because we were already in Montana at that point.
Right.
So, not quite sure how many miles exactly we did in Canada to be real, but yeah.
The most accurate would probably be a cyclometer, and we didn't have one of those. So
that's okay. Those are dumb.
That's why we didn't have one of those. Many people did, though.
Yeah.
No.
And each one was different anyway. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you measure those out to a certain wheel size, and there's always a tiny little bit of whatever. So
and then that multiplies every wheel rotation, which there are hundreds of thousands on a ride that long. So,
So you gonna do it again next year?
Maybe about next year.
Yeah, maybe not next year, but within the next couple years for sure. Right on. I mean, I want to do it next year because most of our friends are like, next year you're gonna do it again.
Yeah,
maybe next year. Not ruling it out, but just don't know.
Just plans. It's hard to plan for something like this and then train.
It takes a long time, too. We were going to take a long time to do it. We had 2 months to do it, in which to do it.
Yeah, but now we have the bikes. We have the bags. Like, we've got all the things that took time for us to acquire.
And the experience of going on it.
And now we know, you know,
what to expect.
Yeah, a 60-mile day, like, we could train a little bit more than we did.
Whatever.
We didn't train a lot.
That's okay.
That actually turned out, there are exercises I would do. I ended up with some joint pain, nothing like unrideable, but Emily's problems were definitely worse. But I had a little bit of joint pain, and but I was surprised that with the amount of training we did not do, that our muscles were fine. Neither of us ever really got tired. We definitely didn't move as fast as many people on the route. But
at the same time, we went the same amount of mileage with more weight.
we were much heavier.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's a lot of a mental game. Like, if you can get past being in your own head for hours at a time.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it in here. What are you talking about?
We did a lot of word etymologies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you actually talk to each other?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Joe's out. Tried anyway. No, it was on a good day. It was nice to just be in your own head. But on a bad day, I at least struggled with it. That was my bad days were like, I miss home. Mm-hmm. I'm so like mm-hmm. lonely. I just want to be like
I just want a
my
giant
friends.
Hunk of cheese right now.
Also, yeah.
There was we met a family out on a little bike ride in Canada, and we were all kind of clumped on the side of the road. I think James was fixing something on a bag. We were looking at maps, trying to get to Rouseville. And this family rode up and they were talking with us. And I think the dad started talking about food. And he said, we just ate chili dogs. And all of us together was just like, oh.
It was just a chorus of, oh.
Yeah.
I'm like that about a chili dog.
It sounded really good.
Every point in my life. But yeah, I can understand. Oh, yeah. No, I can
imagine. We were jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Insanely jealous.
Fair enough.
Oof. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
So you're both back at work now?
No, I don't have a job.
Emily doesn't have a job?
Unemployed.
All right.
You hiring, Stocky?
I could be. I don't know. What do you know about construction?
You want to be a carpenter?
Would you take a minimum wage job?
Sure.
What about minimal wage?
Minimal wage.
Ooh.
How do you feel about taking care of chickens? They're really easy.
Yeah. I know nothing about chickens.
All right. Perfect.
I mean, I know about chicken bones.
Okay.
So that's
that helps.
It.
So what are you ultimately looking for? And a job. Do you even know?
Yeah.
Do you know?
No, nothing.
No, just out there in the world?
Just go do something.
Actually, so one of my
what is your passion? What are you looking for in a? I hate to say lifetime job, but right now.
So this was one of the things that I wanted to kind of be answered by this ride,
okay.
And I did think a lot. So I'm an anthropologist, archaeologist to be specific. Okay. I really like my job, and I plan on going to grad school. Just not sure right now. In what capacity, where, like, there's a lot of openness mm-hmm. in that arena. But one of my weird hobbies is sewing, and it'd be pretty cool to meld bike stuff with that. There are a bunch of it's mainly dudes that do a lot of this, but making frame bags, bike bags, yeah.
I like it.
So,
you know, Matt Freck.
Oh, yeah.
Really gear. We tried to get him to make us a bag, and he never got back to us in time.
He got back to us.
He did get back to us, but we had already purchased other bags.
Gotcha. Not hating on Willy Gear.
No,
it's good stuff.
No, not at all.
He's great. He's actually made Sammy a backpacking backpack.
That cool.
Can throw on her dog and
yep.
Off she goes.
She can haul 65 pounds.
What?
She can. Yeah, she's pretty good.
That's way too much.
She weighs what?
It's 30, a trailer. Yeah.
Dog is just ripped.
She's ripped.
Well,
so yeah, I don't know. That was that was something that I wanted answered, but kind of knew at the time that it wasn't going to be answered. Yeah, but got a lot of time to think.
Yeah, I've done those big things running wise, and gotten to the end and expected some sort of big, wide world answer, and I've gotten some part of it answered, but
I really only got parts of songs.
And it's
stuck
not
going to
be something you're going to. That's not that instant gratification. It's
yeah,
gonna be
no.
Something further down the road.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Oh, well, that's what happened
yeah.
kind of deal. It's never like the bingo, at least
oh,
for
yeah.
me.
Mm-hmm.
It was mainly teasing just like tiny portions of songs out of my own head. Like it was that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, that's not an answer. It's just song on repeat.
It is.
Well, depending on the song.
True.
What
it might be an
what
answer.
What song was it? Maybe we can come up with a playlist.
If you had every rose head, it has a thorn stuck in your head, you would have been here with an answer right now.
Actually, it was a lot of sea shanties.
Oh, God.
Roly old cherry along, but only like one line, so it was a lot of the same line.
That drives me crazy on a 1 hour bike ride. I can't imagine what it's like to do 2.5 weeks.
And then some really weird like indie band, Sunset Rubdown.
All right, yeah. I've been there. That's over on Central.
It is. just north of the old Masonic Temple.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, Stocky, this week, City Council, short agenda.
It's a work session, 5:30.
Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee.
Get out.
Hey.
I think you guys should go.
All right. That's, City Council's on Monday.
Yep.
Monday. Can we ride bikes into?
I would hope that you would. If you're going to make public comment, that you would wheel up to the podium.
Yeah.
And just like ghost ride the bike into the council.
They make you walk through a metal detector, I think.
Or track
stand.
No, they don't.
No, you walk around the metal detector.
I mean, we could bring kids' bikes. Yep. To, you know, they're not full size.
Or scooters, or Heelys. Or
Heelys.
Track stand.
Rollerblades. I saw a couple kids on rollerblades today.
Those are awesome.
I don't mean to derail Joe's thing here.
There's one other thing on the agenda, so we're good.
I want to hear what it is, but as a point of trivia, do they still make Heelys? And do they make them in adult sizes?
I would hope that they would. In the age of Amazon, I'm pretty sure nothing is ever going to go away. There's always going to be somebody that's selling some nostalgic thing, you've got to think.
Right.
That's
new old stock Heelys.
Oh, man. Someone bought the stock of Heelys and is just hoarding them in their little storage shed. And like, oh, we got an order.
Somebody's a nerd for those. Bastards. Yeah.
When I was working at Shields.
Or soap shoes.
In 2000.
Whoa.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about those.
Yeah.
I was working at Shields in 2001, and I was often on the closing shift, and it was in the mall, so we didn't close until 9.
Right.
Which meant we didn't get out of there till 10.
Thanks, mall.
I would go over to the shoe section and just pull a pair of Heelys out and put them on and just haul ass around the store.
Heelys are really fun.
They're super fun.
They look stupid, but they are fun.
And they only had children's sizes. So I would pack my already not very big feet into the largest children's size shoe. And my feet would be super gnarly and cramped by the end of it. But so if you ever bought a pair of nasty, sweaty Heelys from Shields, I apologize.
Send your complaints too.
I think we should add that to the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Council. It should be the Bicycle, Pedestrian, and Heelys Advisory Council. Soap shoes, they're way too obscure.
That would make a great logo with just some guy just beefing it on Heelys. Yeah. Make a great logo.
Love it. I love it. The only other thing on the agenda is 2019 legislature and lobbying. And then there's public comment on items not on the agenda. So that leaves pretty much everything else open. So if you guys want to go talk about, the fact that Lilac's small fry cutter broke.
Oh, no.
They have big fries now.
Bitch. Steak fries?
Well, they're not quite that big. They're just normal, but they're not those wonderful little, coffee stirrer fries.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those are so good. Hey, thanks for coming by, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
That's a great story.
Should we go have some brats?
Yep.
Over here.